Well, hey everyone, I see you out there sitting on your tuchus being all quarantined and stuff, but did you know you can still get vinyl records delivered to your door no matter where you are worldwide from AudiophileUSA.com? AudiophileUSA.com offers global delivery and sells only excellent and near mint vinyl records. Over 42,000 titles in stock and more coming all the time. Guys, this is your big chance to get your final upgrade of your Holy Grail record delivered to you no matter where you are. Go to AudiophileUSA.com, search their collection by artist, label, genre, new arrivals, sale items, or whatever. Just get over to AudiophileUSA.com and find your Holy Grail. And with that, please enjoy this week's episode of The Vinyl Guide.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Chuck Billy from Testament, and you're listening to The Vinyl Guide.
Do you listen to and collect vinyl records? Well, you're in luck. Welcome to The Vinyl Guide, the podcast made for record nerds like yourself. Here's your host, the biggest record nerd of them all, Nate Goyer.
Well, hey everyone, it's Nate. Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of The Vinyl Guide, the podcast for fans and collectors of vinyl records. And today, I am very, very stoked about today's episode. We are talking to none other than Chuck Billy of the band Testament. Now, as you likely know, Testament is one of the biggest thrash metal bands of all time, killing it for over 30 years. And today, lead singer Chuck Billy not only talks about their vinyl history and the new LP Titans of Creation, but Chuck also shares about his recent case of coronavirus. That's right, Chuck was infected with COVID-19, likely from their recent tour of Europe, which they cut short due to the pandemic. Chuck talks all about the end of that tour, learning they had to fly back early, getting home, feeling lousy, getting tested, the effects of the virus on his very valuable lungs, and so much more. So hear all about the symptoms of the coronavirus directly from Chuck today. And as I said, Testament are back with a brand new album, Titans of Creation, which I think is one of their absolute best. The songs are great, sonically it's amazing, and the entire album package is beautiful. And lucky us, there are limited edition colored swirl and splatter pressings at Nuclear Blast. Go to the Nuclear Blast website and order your vinyl copy now. And by the way, I mentioned last week that our sponsor Groove Washer is all sold out of record cleaners, and they cannot make any more until this whole COVID thing blows over. Once record nerds found out they were staying indoors for weeks, the Groove Washer products sold out right away. However, the Groove Washer team did let us know that there is product in some of their retail dealers. You can go to groovewasher.com. There's a store locator, a list of all the people who sell the Groove Washer. One of them that's still open and shipping right now is turntablelab.com. Head over to turntablelab.com, search for Groove Washer, and the remaining product will come up in the results. You can order directly from there, have it shipped to you. You can go there now before you're relegated to eBay, turntablelab.com, or search Groove Washer's retailers at the store locator on groovewasher.com. Good luck getting your hands on a Groove Washer, and if you do, congratulations. And by the way, if you like this episode of The Vinyl Guide, here are some other episodes of The Vinyl Guide interview you may like as well, including episode 205 featuring Derek Green of Sepultura, talking vinyl, Omega album, and more. Episode 183 of The Vinyl Guide features the Atomic Clock himself, Gene Hoagland, drummer of Testament, Dark Angel, and more. Episode 161 features Danko Frickin' Jones talking vinyl music and more. Episode 139 features Scott Ian of Anthrax. Episodes 135 and 136 with Craig LeCicero of Forbidden, Dress the Dead, and more. Or going way back to episode 99, we spoke to Charlie Benante of Anthrax about their history of vinyl, their music, and heaps more. All these podcasts and a few hundred others are available at thevinylguide.com, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Alrighty, that's it for the upfronts. Let's get straight into our conversation with Chuck Billy of Testament.
This
This week on the Vinyl Guide, we are pleased to have Mr. Chuck Billy, Bay Area thrash metal legend with Testament, the new album, Titans of Creation on Nuclear Blast. How are things with you this week, Billy?
I'm doing good. You know, it's actually getting on the mend. Me and my wife got ill coming home from this last European tour and just been quarantined for 2-3 weeks now and doing the same as the rest of the world.
I'm intrigued by this. I'm very keen to talk about the new album. I'm really enjoying it. You guys are going from strength to strength, but, you know, more topical. I mean, how was it that you got coronavirus? Do you know?
Well, we don't. We're trying to pinpoint it. We just don't know how fast, once you're in contact with somebody else that's contagious, don't know how long you carry it till you get sick. But we were not ill in Europe, none of us, none of the tour and party at all. I think until we all got home, and within like a, you know, 24, 36 hour window, a lot of us in our camp and a couple of the other bands' camp, people were having some of the same symptoms. And we kind of assumed, oh, great, this is probably first thing we thought was, okay, we got coronavirus. And within a couple of days, we all started feeling really bad. And then that's when we got tested and they just say, stay quarantined. And, you know, we kind of watched it all just unfold as we were in Europe. You know, we were there, you know, had shown Italy cancel and then the last show in Germany cancel. And, you know, a travel ban was put on the day before we came home. So, you know, things were just really unfolding and changing day by day, you know, and then we get home and then to actually be ill on top of it was like kind of crazy.
So you guys got like one of the last flights out, I would imagine. Yeah, you probably had to scramble to the airport to get home.
Yeah, I mean, we had our flights. We had them already prearranged, but then we were on the first one at 6 a.m. So when our bus driver woke us up to drop us off, he's like, yeah, guess what? Your president just declared a travel ban starting tomorrow at midnight. Well, great. Good thing. Let's get out of here. You know, let's go home. You know,
it was the airport madness? Was like every seat on the flight full?
We got there. It was in Hamburg. And there, like I said, we were on the first flight. It was empty. We were the first people up at the front of the line, got all our luggage and gear on the plane. And we're like, once we got on that first plane, we're like, thank God, okay, we're on our way.
So the plane was empty. You guys had a stewardess for each of you. Is that kind of how you?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't packed, but you can see a lot of the people that were there in line were a lot of people that were changing plans and trying to catch the plane home because they all heard the travel ban, you know. But it was the first plane. People news just came out that night within a 6-hour window. So I don't think everybody's freaking out yet, but we're just like on the beginning and luckily got out of there.
So you land, you get home, then you start to feel a little bit achy.
Well, you thought it was jet lag, just like normal. You know, come home from a long 5-week tour, you're tired and jet lagged. And, you know, my wife started feeling ill. We got home on a Thursday night. She started feeling ill Friday. I was fine Friday. And then Saturday morning, I started feeling bad. And then by Sunday, we were both just a mess. And then called the doctor and went and got tested that day. Went to a drive-thru. Just pulled in to a tent and rolled down the window. They swab your throat, your nose, and you're out of there.
You and your wife had it. I think Gary from Exodus also had it, if I'm right.
Yeah, Steve, our bass player, DiGiorgio, you know, he's positive. A couple of our techs, one of our techs actually is stuck in Europe. He's sick there and can't get back to the U.S. yet. So, you know, it affected quite a few.
Did you all have kind of the same symptoms? I mean, I'm curious about this because obviously every time I sneeze now, I'm like, oh, shit, what do I have? So what should we be looking for?
Well, it was the same headaches and achy body. I mean, just like wiped out, just nothing but sleep and just achy headaches. We didn't get the fevers so much, you know, we were kind of like, man, I don't feel good, but I don't have a fever, you know, so maybe that was a good thing. Mm-hmm. But, and, you know, didn't have the cough for at least 4 days, 5 days, and I started coughing a little bit. But it's just one of them things, you know, you're sick and it just doesn't go away. it was the good 2 weeks. We just felt awful. Wow. You know, no energy, kind of sick, you know. Wow.
So no energy, headaches, lots of sleep. It won't go away. That sounds an awful lot like having children, Chuck. Now, as a singer, coronavirus is a respiratory illness. Do you think your vocal history played any role in you overcoming the virus?
I'm not sure, but, you know, I was thinking about that, you know, just being a non-smoker and just finished the tour and just, you know, my lungs are in pretty good shape at that point, you know. Not sure. But, you know, I think people react to it different. You know, my wife is not a singer, and she pretty much had the same symptoms I did. She didn't have it any worse, you know, any better. So don't know. Just different people handle it different.
And obviously it must have gone through your mind like, oh, my God, this is I make my living out of these lungs. People are counting on these lungs to work. Did that kind of freak you out a bit?
Well, you know, I mean, when Will from Death Angel, he went into ICU and had to get on a ventilator. And then we were all really freaked out and scared, kind of like, oh. And then, you know, a couple of the other guys saying, I just can't breathe. And, you know, you kind of mind screw your, you know, mind, you know, plays tricks with you a little bit, you know. And you freak out a little bit for a second, you know. But I think when we first were sick, that's when we really noticed, you know, walking to the bathroom, you're just huffing and puffing. But really didn't think about, like, oh, shit, you know, I need to, you know, not bad enough to where I need to call somebody.
And so now you're clearly on the mend. You have to be in quarantine. Well, the whole world's in quarantine, right?
The whole world's in quarantine. We're still in quarantine. Well, you know, I mean, they said we can go out, wear masks, but, you know, we couldn't even go in and get retested. You know, we just got to ride it out. So we figure let's just stay in quarantine till, you know, because we, like I said, we still don't feel 100%. We still got like a, you know, a heavy head, you know, I guess kind of feeling, but much better than when we were just felt like when we were wrecked.
Well, that's good. Look, I'm very pleased in that you guys, not just you and your wife, but the rest of the band and Exodus and Death Angel, everyone's doing good. So thank God for that. So, So let's turn to a more pleasant subject. the new album, Titans of Creation. I've been listening to it again. It's just so impressive. I love the fact that you guys are still delivering and trying new things. Some 30 something years since the band started. The Bay Area was really ground zero for thrash metal. Why do you think that was?
Well, I mean, I think it was just set up. Once Metallica, Exodus started putting out music in the early time in the Bay Area, at that point, I think there was a lot of punk rock bands that just kind of had that attitude. And of course, there was a lot of hair bands, you know. Once that Metallica, Exodus movement started happening, Laz Rocket was a big part back then. Once that movement started happening, all those glam bands seemed to have left the Bay Area and went to LA. And the Bay Area kind of was like wide open with all these clubs, a lot of clubs to play. And all these bands started popping up, like the Testaments, Death Angels, Forbiddens, Violence, you know, just all the Bay Area thrash bands started popping up. But we had all these cool clubs to play and all these, you know, things to do in there. Some of them were like, within across the street from each other and upstairs, you can do like, you know, see a early show and the early band and go across the street and catch a later show and see the headliner. You know, it was just so much things to do. And something about that scene, everybody really supported each other. You know, it was really a tight scene where everybody that was at the gig seemed to be at the after party at the studios as well. You know, so it was just a special thing. I think we didn't realize it then, but looking back, it's like, wow, it just was really special.
Because it really seems like, you know, in the 80s, like you say, there was the hair metal bands and Hollywood was kind of their center. Of course, in the 90s, there was grunge out of the Pacific Northwest, but the Bay Area, San Francisco, Berkeley, East Bay really seemed to be feeding ground for thrash metal. I was curious as to why you thought that was the case.
Yeah, it was a perfect. We had the venues to play, all the Stones, the Keystones, and it's funny that all those owners of those venues were really cool to all the metal bands. You know, really became, you know, family.
Did you grow up in the Bay Area?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We grew up in Dublin, California. Same place where Zette grew up from Exodus. You know, we both grew up in the same town.
Were there always records and music in your life as a child?
Yeah. You know, my older brother was always into music, played guitar. So that's what kind of started me. Wanted to play guitar and always interested in music, always had it there. Different taste of music. I mean, as heavy as he liked was Led Zeppelin, you know. Mm-hmm. But that was the introduction.
And what were the records that changed your life?
Well, I mean, when I was a younger kid, I'm sure those first Kiss Alive records, just something about looking at those vinyls and seeing Kiss and Blowing Fire and all this, it was just like larger than life and bigger than something you've ever seen. And you're like, just wow. And then, you know, the music was pretty good too.
Do you remember the moment where you truly thought that music could play a role in your life going forward?
Yeah, I mean, when I made the decision, it happened all pretty quick. I was always an athlete and playing sports and was, you know, thought I was, you know, going to, you know, follow and, you know, be a professional athlete somehow. And my senior year, I got thrown out of school and at that point decided, you know, I've always was a guitar player, decided, okay, now I'm going to be a musician. I do then. That was my choice. Okay, yeah, sports were out the window. Now it's music. And I was a guitar player, and, you know, my brother had a band, and I sang at the rehearsal one day and became their singer overnight and said, oh, shit, I need to learn how to sing. And just really went to school and college and private lessons for a couple years, and then found this band. You know, so it was kind of like my first band I auditioned for. I've been with ever since. And it was thanks to Steve Zetrosuzo, which was the first singer of this band. You know, he was friends with my little brother. So when he left to join Exodus, he gave me Alex Skolnick's number to join Testament. And the rest of it, you know, I did it and been there ever since.
Wow. So it was just pretty much a very quick audition. Do you know who else may have auditioned for that role?
I don't. I know there's a couple guys from L.A. I don't know how many people they auditioned. But it happened pretty quick, because once I auditioned, then, because they already had a record deal with Zett. Mm-hmm. So the Megaforce wanted to hear a new demo. I did a demo real quick and learned the rest of the set, and bam, we were off to New York and did a record. You know, just kind of walked into the deal as well. You know, it was all right there.
How did you feel like in a live situation? Were there a lot of nerves, or was it a very surprisingly easy transition for you?
For me, live has always been the natural feeling. But at the time when I joined this band, because it was such a new movement and such a new type of music, and I came from a different background when I was, you know, growing up, I was into more stuff like UFO and more melodic singing stuff, where thrash metal to me wasn't as melodic vocally at that point. Mm-hmm. So I had to kind of learn. Do a crash course on becoming a thrash metal singer when I joined the band, you know, so I had like studied and went to school and private lessons to learn to sing and be melodic. To all of a sudden join a band where I really had to learn how to sing on timing and sing my phrasing faster and different. It wasn't as melodic. So it was this whole different, you know, thing to me.
Now, as I understand it, the band at that time wasn't called Testament. It was called Legacy. Is that right?
Legacy. Yeah, that was in the band. It was called Legacy, and we were called Legacy all the way up till we got into the studio and recorded the first record, and knew that we had to come up with a name before we finished the record and delivered it. And Billy Milano from MOD, SOD, he was friends with Megaforce and came up with the name Testament, and. Eric, you know, he's always been a doodler, so he kind of sketched out a logo. And we looked at it for the first time, and it was real symmetrical with the T's and the A. And we're like, whoa, that's, shoot, that looks kind of like a logo. And from that point, it just kind of, it grew on us real quick, right from that point. And next thing we had the name.
That's really unique and helpful to have the logo that you started on with day one, really, still last to this day. That's fairly rare in music, I believe.
Yeah, and then when you've seen it, it was so, because when we heard that just someone saying Testament, we just didn't visualize it. But once we've seen that logo and the way it just was real symmetrical, we're just like, oh, that looks like a good logo, you know?
Ties it all together. So Testament yeah. has now been on several different labels throughout your career, Megaforce, Atlantic, yeah. Music for Nations, now Nuclear Blast. There's like, I want to say, 12, 13 albums now. Does the band have control of all the Testament recordings to date?
Yes. Well, not the early records from the Atlantic years. That was our first six records, all the way up to the Low record.
Right.
But those have been re-released through different people of lately. You know, I know there's been a vinyl kick. I don't think they're really doing the CDs, but everything after that record, we own the masters too. Right after we finished our deal with Atlantic, we started our label called Burnt Offerings. Mm-hmm. And been licensing our music ever since then. So, which has been a great thing, because we've made some bad deals with some independent labels with some records, you know, that those companies ended up going bankrupt. And, you know, because we own our masters, we got to walk with our music.
Okay.
So that's been the beauty of it for a long time. We've been in control of our music since 95.
So I would imagine part of the goal going forward is to try to get those first six records back into the band's hands.
It would be great, you know, and we keep trying and talk about it, but you know, it's tougher than you'd think. You know, you would think, you know, the company and Atlantic would go, okay, the band Testament's still out there working, doing things. Let's promote some of their records that we own, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's a whole different thing, you know.
You mentioned the first six albums. Now, I'm thinking a couple years ago, The Ritual and Low were both put out for the first time on vinyl. With limited amount of copies, I want to say 1,500 maybe. Was that a decision the band was on and helped navigate?
No, not any of those. I know there's a company called Back on Black Records mm-hmm. that got a license for some of the records, and there was another company, two companies somehow got the license for some of the vinyls. We don't have a say in it, you know, but you know. Mm-hmm. That's a deal between Atlantic and them, because, you know, they own the masters, can do what they want.
Do you know if the master tapes were even used in that, or if there was a CD as the vinyl master?
It was probably a CD, because all those masters we have still, all the 2-inch master recordings and 1/2-inch tapes and
oh,
all of them.
Okay. You have them. They're,
we have all
they're
that.
Safe. They're not, they weren't in that yeah. big fire or anything like that.
No. No.
Now, since vinyl has really had this very strong comeback over the last several years, what role does vinyl now play in Testament?
Well, they definitely, you know, increased what they print these days, but it really is a collector's piece, but people still enjoy listening to them. You know, the novelty of playing the record still appeals to people, you know, now. But, you know, it's the CD and that version of music is just going away. Like we've lost, I would say, with physical sales, because Best Buy was our big store that owned a lot of music at the time, you know, lately stopped selling CDs and music. So a lot of bands lost a lot of sales there because there was no more big record chains anymore. So everything's going to kind of be going to digital, you know.
When Testament goes to record a record, are there any thoughts about the end format? For instance, do you think of music as two or four sides of a record album set, or does that really not come into play?
It doesn't come into play, and I wish, because I know the way the records were made, like when we were doing it in the 80s, is that you would get a test pressing and then listen to it, add the tweak the bass, turn up the drums, do whatever you had to do, and keep testing it, because the mix for a vinyl is much different than like a digital mix for a CD. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where it kind of is lost today, where there's a lot of CD mixes that are just thrown on vinyl and it just doesn't do it justice, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, it does play now a big part. Just when you deliver a record to a label now, they want 3, 4, 5 months window for you to deliver your artwork, just because that's how backed up the presses are to print these vinyls. There's so much a market now, then there's the machines are not there anymore. Mm-hmm. And there's not enough presses to do all these. So the wait takes forever.
Now, the new album, Titans of Creation, is absolutely gorgeous. And I mean, from the cover through to the special vinyl pressings, then you can get it Nuclear Blast, to the music, of course. I mean, I think it's a perfect package, quite honestly. There's a lot of box sets and special pressings, certain orange splatter, clear splatters. Oh, yeah. Is the band involved in any of those decisions?
Oh, yeah. On all of those, we're definitely involved. But that's the beauty of Nuclear Blast. They're really, you know, they really go out and do that for their bands, really get creative as far as putting vinyls and different vinyls. And it's funny that, you know, you'll see it shows, people bring the collection, you know, and I think it's great to have that option for the real fan. You know, I think it's a way, I guess, to keep trying to sell more records, I suppose.
Well, yeah, it's something very personal, something you can hold. I come from a generation where having music, having the physical music media is really important. Younger people may not be so much, but yeah, I like having the record and I like having the big artwork, especially since I'm getting old and my eyes aren't seeing as good as they used to.
Yeah, I mean, there's something about that. I think the younger generation don't remember that growing up. They don't have that now. It's something new if they tried it today. But we still do that. We'll take a day or a Sunday and we'll all grab, you know, my wife will grab our selection of the vinyls. And we have a stereo upstairs and downstairs, either one we want, depending where we want to listen to it. And we'll just do a vinyl day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it takes you back because, you know, 30 minutes later, okay, flip the vinyl, it's your turn. You know, it's like, you know, it's like the old days.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have a bit of a vinyl collection at home. What do you have in there? Do you have some special records that you like to...
I have an old school collection, but... You know, I'm always on the hunt when I'm out there looking for stuff that I, you know, had when I was younger that maybe I lost. But I seem to find them. That seems to keep me busy on the road looking for special things. Or just going to a record store finding stuff because they're getting smaller and smaller. So I try to collect it when I can.
So when you're touring, if you have a little bit of time during the day and you're not being bombarded by questions by some idiot like me, you try to go out to record shops and see those records?
Yeah, I mean, because I usually try to get away from the venue every day, do something, go for a walk, go have lunch, you know, and if that involves knowing, getting tipped off that there's a good vinyl store in town within distance, you know, we'll go check it out. But, you know, I have the best luck, like in Japan, for me, finding like rarities that I can't find anywhere else. You know, I found like some really cool old Scorpions Tokyo tapes, which I couldn't find anywhere but there. You know, a few other bands I've been searching for years I found in Japan. So Japan's been a good spot.
Yeah. I every time I go to Japan, I come back and my suitcases are overweight. You live in the Bay Area still, yeah? For people who are going there, what are some record shops, some music shops that you'd recommend?
Well, Rasputin's a big one that closed. The big one now is Amoeba in Berkeley and Amoeba in San Francisco.
Wait a minute. Hang on. Rasputin's closed? The one on University Avenue?
Rasputin's closed in Concord.
Oh, okay.
I think the one in University is still open. That might be the last remaining one.
Wow.
But the one here in the Bay, the local one we've grown up with, shut down. But the Amoeba in San Francisco on Haight, that one's probably the funnest one to make a day going visiting Hate Street and going in the record shop up there. That one's huge. I mean, you can get cool old posters and, you know, just novelty things there. So it's actually a cool store.
Yeah. And you get the very colorful Hate Street along with it as a bonus.
Yeah, that's the fun part of it.
So let's talk about the new record, Titans of Creation. What does Titans add to the Testament story?
Well, I mean, this one, I think, was, you know, I guess I'll use the word created. There was a different, I guess, the way we came about the process of writing this record. It was a lot of gut instinct. There's a lot of vocal stuff, patterns that we found and that we just let the tape roll and mumbled our way through and found patterns and really stuck with a lot of that was like the first gut instinct on stuff. And I think on this record, it really challenged me a little more by doing that. Because Eric wrote some songs on this record that aren't your typical metal writing on E songs. There's some really chord progressions that I was kind of put me out of my comfort zone, but it challenged me. And I think it made it a little more special and unique and a little more dynamic. But when you hear the record, you would go, yeah, that's Testament, but that's the different feel of Testament. There's some real different feelings and vibes on this record.
You know, a dozen or more albums into the career, I imagine it's tempting to repeat some of the more comfortable formulas, but yet Testament doesn't do that. How do you keep it fresh? How do you avoid repeating yourself?
Well, I write off what Eric gives me. And fortunately, Eric is kind of isolates himself. He loves his black metal that he likes listening to. And he's got younger kids, so it's either black metal or Justin Bieber or something. You know, so he's pretty diverse, but fortunately he doesn't like listen to a lot of newer metal bands or follow any trends or anything. So when he writes Testament stuff, he's kind of like wide open to just creating things. And like I said, on this one, he really did go outside of the box and write some stuff that just isn't typical metal, you know, a lot of E-chugging songs, you know. And when he does that, you know, like I said, in the past, I used to always challenge him on that and fight him, you know, just go back to the E part. That's easier for the verse. Yeah. But on this one, I didn't. And I just kind of rolled with it. And it really pushed me out of my comfort zone. But it made me, you know, get a little more creative.
Now, vocally, have you had to change your approach to vocals as you get older?
Well, I don't know if I change it, but I think I'm comfortable and know what I can do and what I can't do. I have a comfortable range, I guess. So I like to really stick with it where I can do it live. If I'm going to do something, I want to be able to pull it off live and have the same feeling, you know. I don't like to go see somebody and the song and the vocal doesn't sound like the record, you know.
Right. But I mean, in terms of like switching your live set, putting certain songs toward the end of the set, or even now 2 days on, 1 day off sort of approach, are you having to make those sort of adjustments?
No, we work pretty hard, you know, 5 days, 6 days a week. But I do have some songs that they're the ones that got to be song number two or three. That, you know, that's the one I just need my full breath and I need to be strong and I, you know, it has to go here. There's some of those songs definitely that pop up, you know, and I kind of know it. Just we've put them in down the set, and you know, by the time I get to the song, I'm like, oh man, can't get there right now.
Mm-hmm. You know? What's your favorite part of the new album?
Well, I think I really enjoyed the mix, the production of it. I think Andy Sneap did a killer job on this record as far as mixing it. I really hear everything on it. Every instrument and Gene and Steve did a killer job. Gene really worked with Eric hard writing this record. And I think it shows on just the foundation of Gene's playing on this record. It's nonstop. He's brutal on it. But I think I think everybody just came together into the studio is probably my favorite part. Just, you know, everybody really put their all in and just made it a great record.
And again, Chuck, phenomenal record, and I want to make sure everyone knows about Titans of Creation, but really also the history of Testament, because the band has had such a deep history, and even just how many people have gone through the band now? Probably 30 or so. I mean, so many musicians have gone through.
At least.
Yeah, but it really is like a who's who.
We've been tight with this lineup though now, but of lately, you know, we've been pretty tight, and I think at this point we're very comfortable as a band. We're very comfortable as friends. We get along well on tour. We don't argue, have fights. So, you know, we're having fun right now, and it's a good time for Testament right now. And I don't see any plans of things changing and people going anywhere. And we're working, keeping everybody working, and at least we were until this happened. But you know, we're working pretty consistently.
Well, look, we'll get back to working again. And the fact that you guys have made it through the sickness, and hopefully everyone's going to be able to stick together, and maybe 6-12 months from now, tours will start to reemerge, and hopefully we can get back to what is normal.
Yeah. And you know, it's going to take everybody to kind of do their part right now to kind of get to that point, you know, just to figure out how to get ahead of this thing.
So you're absolutely right, Chuck. Everyone's got to do their part, and I'm about to do mine. So let me make sure everyone recognizes that Testament's got a brand new album, Titans of Creation. It absolutely burns. I think it's another high in the history of Testament. Obviously, the tours are postponed, but I reckon the best thing we should all do to support this band and hear this marvelous album as it was intended, go to nuclearblast.com. In the USA shop, there's a Fire Edition vinyl pressing that looks gorgeous. There's a box set that looks remarkable. Limited numbers on these. Globally, there's nuclearblast.de. Get your copy of Titans of Creation. They're shipping from Europe. You can grab a t-shirt too. When you get this album, turn this sucker up. It is phenomenal. So, Chuck, thanks again for joining us here on The Vinyl Guide.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, and hopefully we'll get back down there again, and we'll see everybody real soon, hopefully.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Chuck Billy of Testament. Thank you so much, Chuck, for stopping by The Vinyl Guide and talking records and Titans of Creation and, of course, coronavirus. Good luck with that, man. I hope you heal 100% and more. We look forward to seeing you guys back out on the road. In the meantime, we're all going to go to the Nuclear Blast website and grab a copy of Titans of Creation. Limited splatter and swirl pressings are available if you go there now. That's nuclearblast.com. Alrighty, and that's it for this week's episode of The Vinyl Guide. Thanks again for tuning in. Again, please feel free to share these episodes on your social media, your Facebook, your Instagram. Tweet about them. Let's help get the word out, people. We've got several hundred episodes and interviews at thevinylguide.com or wherever you get your podcasts. So enjoy them, help others find them, and that is much appreciated. We'll be back with a brand new episode. So until we talk next time, keep spinning. Cheers.
That's it for this episode of The Vinyl Guide. Send your thoughts to Nate@thevinylguide.com or follow or tag us on Instagram @vinylguide. Until next time, keep spinning.